spirit, now I rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here another week of Sports Talk Radio here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. We got a list full of guests that will be joining the Tony Sands Show. My main man, Bibbs, will be joining the show at 8:05. My main man, the Denver Broncos insider, will join the Tony Sands Show. That's Mr. VC. He's up in New York. He was at the event with the NFL Network and Fantasy Football. He was in there interviewing a lot of the great reporters in the game. My lady, hey, this is a lady with Fox Sports. I've done shows with her. Kativa will join the show at 8:15 to talk a little Miami Central, who is the number one high school team in the country. We're going to get into the depths and the stories of Miami Central, how tough their schedule is this year. We're going to talk about their star players, Joseph Yerby, Delvin Cook, and Mr. Trayvon Darling, are two of the top guys in South Florida. Miami Central has a tough schedule. But before I get into it, I'm going to let her get into that, because guess what? This is our other topics of the Tony Sands Show. We're going to get into a little bit of Tim Tebow. Will he last the next cut for the New England Patriots? Michael Vick versus Foles, starting quarterback. Which one should be the starting quarterback? If you haven't been watching the news, that's been settled. We're going to talk about that with Mr. Bibbs and with my main man, VC. The Dallas Cowboys, will they win the NFC East? Geno Smith had a better day, folks. He had a better day than what he had last week at this time. Last week at this time on Tuesday, his coach, Rex Ryan, was saying he had a brutal practice. I mean, he stunk up the practice field. And as you also know, Incognito, who is the offensive guard for the Miami Dolphins, had to block Antonio Smith. And in that blocking, man, it was great. Antonio Smith snatched off his helmet and made a mistake and swung the helmet. Each row stepped back, missed him. We're going to get into a little bit of that. We're going to see, was that a violent act in this new game we call the NFL? That's why I said the NFL. Was that a violent, violent hit that took place? Also, John Bostic was fined $21,000 in his hit in this weekend's game. We're going to get into the top five receivers in the NFL. We're going to talk a little Colin Kaepernick versus Russell Wilson. Which guy would you take? But before we do that, we're going to head to a quick minute commercial break. We got to pay some bills. Then we're going to get back into it. My main man, Bibbs, will join the show. We're going to join Mr. Bibbs out in Dallas as we talk a little high school football from his end and Kativa Sports Fox sideline prep zone reporter will join the Tony Sands Show at about 8:15. But before that, let's go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be back here on the Tony Sands Show talking high school football.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Now I rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raising the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
Well, we're back here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. We're also joined by my weekly guest, co-host himself, Mr. Bibbs out of Dallas, Texas. B, what's going on, man?
Not too much, Tony, man. I'm blessed. How you doing today?
Man, I'm great, man. Another week, we're here to give our knowledge to our listeners because they want our knowledge because we are the experts when it comes to sports talk radio. We are one of the top radio internet shows in the country. Hey, B, let's get into it. Let's dive into it. Let's not waste no time because about 8:15, we're going to talk a little more high school football. Folks, we're going to start the first half of this show off. We're going to dig into some high school football around the country because we'll have joining us Fox Sports Prep Zone sideline reporter Miss Kay will join the Tony Sands Show as she talk about some of the upcoming games that they have. And she's going to dig into the number one high school B in the country, and that is Miami Central. She's going to talk about that. But let's talk a little bit about some of the teams out in the Dallas area. I mean, in the Texas area that is making major headlines here in the country. Give me a guess some of the teams that you will be spotlighting this year when it comes to high school football.
Well, first and foremost, I'm going to give you a rundown about the Allen Eagles. They were last year's, well, I want to say Division II 5A state champions in the 35-21 win over Houston Lamar in the state championship game. We also talking about those Katy Tigers. You know, they pretty much established just a few years ago and always have been, you know, one of those nationally recognized teams. They also won state last year against Peter Hill in the Division I 5A state championship. And those guys have a ton of starters coming back. Kyler Murray out of Allen, he was a sophomore last year at the quarterback position. More of an athlete, needs to, you know, work on his passing. But I do see the Allen Eagles possibly repeating as state champion. I don't know about Katie. Katie's there every year, but you never know what can happen with them. They had a nice running back. I'm not sure. I can't remember what the kid's name was, but he's a stud. When I do get you his name, I'll talk to you about him a little later on the show. But I can tell you that kid was a stud. He carried Katie to that state championship last year against Cedar Hill. Not to mention South Lake Carroll, one of those schools that's always in the hunt in the Texas area. They returned a few stars. They lost their actual starting quarterback, Kenny Hill, to Texas A&M. But they recruit like crazy, and they have a great system at South Lake, and they'll be ready, you know, they'll retool and be ready, you know, for the challenges ahead again this year.
And it's ironic. But it's ironic that you speak about South Lake Carroll because South Lake Carroll and Allen will take on each other on August 31st. So that'll be a big opening game for Allen, who is number two ranked team in the nation. You know, like you said, and when you look at Cal Murray, a guy that, you know, he combined for, you know, he threw for 153 of 249 passes and threw for over 2,000 yards and 17 TDs.
Right. As a sophomore.
Right. Then you got to think he's the son of former Texas A&M quarterback, Kevin Murray.
Right. Definitely. So you know where he gets his toolage from. His toolage. You can see why he's the athlete that he is. And when I say, Tony, this kid is a dynamic athlete, I watched him, you know, this past season as a sophomore come in. Didn't even go through spring training with his club, come in. You know, just light the scoreboards up and take his team to an undefeated season into a state championship, first time under center at Allen. Guys, dynamic.
That's right. And then you talked about, you know, you spotlighted Katie with, you know, their running back, like I said, Rodney Anderson, who's a top-notch running back out of Texas as a freshman. He rushed for, you know, 1,167 yards and 153 carries. So this young man is used to carrying the load for Katie. Now tell me this. When we talk about, you know, it's ironic because we're talking about Florida and Texas. And when we talk about Florida and Texas, you got to figure within the top five, this is how it's made up. And it's crazy. It's made up. You got Miami Central at number one. You got Allen at number two. You got Allen. Then we jump to Carr over in New Orleans, but then we come back to Florida with Booker T, and then you got Katie of Texas at number five. So when you look at the top five teams in the country, it's being dominated by Florida and Texas.
Texas. I mean, that doesn't need to really be said much because we know that Texas and Florida are about neck and neck when it comes to, you know, the top athletes in high school football. right now, like, I give it an edge to Florida, you know, as far as, you know, those the recruiting and the Division I athletes that come out of Florida. But, you know, Texas is, you know, right there sitting probably about neck and neck with Florida at this moment. But how it is. Texas and Florida run the country. That's how we get down when you come to Texas.
It's just when you look at it, like I tell people, it's a flip-flop or of which state is hotter. Each year, some state Texas is hotter than Florida. Sometimes, some years Florida is hotter than Texas. But it just boils down to which team is putting out. And see, this is what I think makes Florida seem sometimes so much dominant, because they send guys throughout the country. Texas doesn't have to send guys throughout the country, because there are a lot of number one Division I schools in Texas, to where Texas players stay in the state of Texas.
Versus
traveling abroad, going to Texas, going to Louisiana, going to Alabama. You got Texas, you got A&M, you got Texas Tech. You got all these schools within mile radius of each other. So a kid don't even have to leave his state to play top-notch football here in Florida. I mean, when you break it down, we have Miami, Florida State, and Florida. And then you have the lower tier of the South Florida and the Florida Central Florida, but that is it when it comes to if you want to play big time football outside of FAU and FAU. But kids want to play at that top level, so you can see why Texas continue to put out the athletes that they put out. Like I said, when you look at the can't miss games of Allen, you're looking at Cedar Hill, South Lake Carroll, which they'll play Cedar Hill on 9-6. They'll play Copper on 9-27, which all those games are great games. And like you said, Allen went 15-1, only losing to Copper. So I'm quite sure they want that rematch to come up. And I'm quite sure it is going to be a heck of a rematch. Like I said, because Allen is a tough team. And when we look at some of their current guys that they have in college, they sent guys to Missouri, A&M, and, you know, Arkansas. Jonathan Williams came out of Allen. When you look at Katy is another place that, you know, that's the home of Andy Dalton.
Right.
That's the home of Andy Dalton, which they went 16-0. You know, they went 16-0 in their 7A division, and you see why in their division. I mean, and they won 7 state titles. 7 state titles in the state of Texas. So we can see why. Go ahead, B. What you say?
And I just want to, you know, and those two schools that you spoke of, not Allen as of yet, but recently Allen has been, you know, one of those schools that have been in the state championship hunt every year. But as far as South Lake Carroll and Katy goes, I think they're about tied. If either one up or tied for the most state championships in that 5A division in Texas high school football. And I mean, every year we know that we're going to see something from those two programs, because that's how great and how dominant they are in the state of Texas.
But I'm going to tell you, the enrollment at a school like Allen, I mean, it blows my mind. When you look at the enrollment at a school like Allen, and you look at some of the top schools here in the state of Florida, Allen doubles their student enrollment. You got to figure Allen has over 5,300 students.
Right. One of the biggest schools in Texas. You know, and it's a lot of schools. I wouldn't say a lot, but there's a few schools in the state of Texas. I say about 10 schools that have populations similar to that. There's been even talks going on in UIL about, you know, creating a 6A division for those schools with so many students, but it hadn't surfaced yet. But that's one of the rumors that I've heard over about a year or so ago.
That they're thinking about starting now. And it's here in the state of Florida, you know, because we're also going to be joined within another couple of minutes. That's with us, our girl from Fox Sports that handles high school football. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and bring her in on this conversation so she can talk about the number one school here in the state of Florida, because she's joining the Tony Sands Show. Is my main girl. She handles all sideline reporting for Fox Sports Prep Zone. And she also does her own show. I'm going to let her prep her own show when she come on, because who can do a better job in prepping their own but oneself? So I'm going to let her prep her own show. But she is, and when you know you're watching high school football and you're watching sideline reporting, you know she is the person to get that knowledge from you. Welcome to this Tony Sands Show, Fox Sports sideline reporter for Prep Zone. Miss K, what's going on?
How are you, Tony? I'm so excited to be on your show. What's going on?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. The football season has finally come back around, and high school sports at this time is big. It's huge.
Well, let me just tell you, you just really excited me for the season just based on your intro. I loved it.
I'm going to tell you why I got it. You deserve an intro like that, though. You deserve an intro. Anything less, I wouldn't have done you the justice that you are due.
Well, you're being kind.
You are Fox, to what I would say, you are Fox Zone Prep reporter. You are that. You make Fox, to me, you make it is. You, it is what it is. Some people come to the game to get the insight, to stand to the gate to watch you do. You're important. That's why I say that.
Tony, speaking of, we got to get you at the games because you are our insider. You know everything beyond what we know, beyond what our analysts know, beyond what our play-by-play guys know. You are our secret insider.
B, I'm going to tell you something, man. You know, Fox Sports cover a lot of the high school games here, and Miss K is the sideline reporter for the games. When I say does a great job here in South Florida and beyond, but she handles sports so well, and she is the person that, you know, like I said, when you look at ESPN and you look at the people that they have on as their sideline reporting, it is moving that wave to where, you know, it's moving toward females, because I guess, you know, you add females with football and it makes a great combination. But she does a great job. Me and her, you know, we're on the sideline together covering several games, and it is my pleasure anytime that I can be on Fox Sports with her. But now, Miss K, let's talk a little bit about Miami Central, who is the number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
Give my listening audience a little bit of insight on Miami Central.
Well, it's funny that I'm talking to you about this today because, you know, Coach Roland Smith, he's newly appointed. You know, he's familiar with Lockett. He's coming into a number one national-ranked team. But, you know, it's the staff he's worked with in the past, and he's familiar with them. Not much needs to change. And they're just going to be business as usual. He said he's excited for the kickoff classic this weekend against Dwyer. And I think they're going to do really well. This team is just stacked, as you know.
But I'm going to tell you this now. Does it add more? Now, he's taken over, as we say, a nationally ranked team, a team that's used to going to the state championship. They've won two state championships. Mm-hmm. How much pressure did he get into it that he feels that he is under? When you take the shoes, that's just like when Coach Rocco took over from George Smith. That was a lot of pressure. Because expectations are high. Their expectations are so high. So anything less than a state championship seems like a failure. Do he feel that kind of pressure?
I think, you know, he's a former defensive back from UM, drafted by the Dolphins. He's a guy that actually played at the highest level. So he does know football really well, and his team seems to respect him. He said they, you know, opened up to him, and they welcomed him with open arms. They joke a lot, and when they get on the field, it's all business. He said he's such great leaders on his team that they can handle things even when the coaches aren't even there. So he doesn't feel kind of that challenge. You know, I did try to get him to open up more about that. But to him, he said, you know what? He said the staff is who he's worked with in the past. So they're not really doing anything different. And it's huge shoes to fill, but hey, well, we're going to get to see if he's going to fill them this year.
And people must understand, when we talk about Miami Central, you got to talk about Devontae Freeman, who is the running back at Florida State. You got to talk about Cato Rakeem, who is one of the top quarterbacks at Marshall. And their bloodline of guys that's in the NFL, Willis McGahee, you got to figure Najee Davenport, Bruce Armstrong. These are the guys that came through Miami Central. But let's talk a little bit about their schedule and upcoming games, because they do have a tough schedule, and they're on the road. You got to figure, they got to play Booker T, which is, these schools are mere miles from each other, because now when you look at Booker T is no slouch neither, because they're ranked number four in the nation with their quarterback, Mr. Harris, that can put the ball in the air, and he's used to running this new type of spread offense. But they also got to play Don Brosco out of New Jersey, who is going to be a tough game. We've watched, I have not had an opportunity to watch Don Brosco when they came out here to play St. Thomas. And then they come back on 11-8 to play University High School, which is going to be a tough game also.
Oh, I love University.
Of course, Roger Harrod is doing a great job over there. Now, tell me this about Central. How many of the games do you guys cover? Give me, as a matter of fact, give my listening audience your schedule for the upcoming season so that way they can get to the sideline and see you in person.
I know we're going to be covering a lot of Central. We're going to be covering University School. We're going to be covering Heritage, a lot of St. Thomas games. In fact, one of them is going to be in the Superdome against John Curtis. I'll be covering that. And it's just going to be a great season. This weekend we've got two back-to-back games. We've got on Friday Friendship at Atlantic in Delray Beach, and then on Saturday we have Miami Central at Dwyer. And, you know, it's just you just got to go to Fox Sports, click on Prep Zone, and it has a full schedule there. But we're really excited because each year that we do this, we keep getting more and more great matchups. So, you know, we're back-to-back pretty much every weekend this season.
But you also do your own show, and where can my listener audience follow your show, and how can they follow you?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was an entertainment reporter, and I got sick and tired of talking about people, you know, getting divorced or, you know, Britney Spears flashed her underwear or whatever these silly headlines are. And I wanted to do sports. And, you know, and a lot of my colleagues in sports broadcasting said, listen, you need sports material. You got to have a sports background, something. Like, you got to, you know, have some sort of example of you in sports. So I started my own sports show, First Down and Dirty, and that was 2 years ago. And since then, we have over a million views on our segments, and we have a blog, which is firstdownanddirty.com. It's actually 1ST down, N, the letter N, dirty.com. And we cover all sports, and it's kind of like sportainment. So it's sports and entertainment mixed, and it's just, it's a lot of fun. You guys got to follow us on Twitter, on Instagram. We just got back from the Cayman Islands. We went with the Dolphins alumni there, and we hosted a youth football camp. That was so much fun. Tony, I wanted to get you there, but you were like around this summer. You were all over the place with all of the Hall of Fame. I don't even know what you were doing. You were just everywhere that I wanted to be, you were at.
I think my summer guys were so busy. I did all the training, and then I had to leave and go and do some work for the Cowboys, and then I left there, and it was at a celebrity event, a cancer event that raised money, and I had an opportunity to play, you know, the bowl with Kevin Hart and Jamie Foxx, Michael Irvin. These were guys that were on my bowling team. So, I mean, we had a great time out in L.A., but now it's time to get to what I like.
Let me ask you a question, but before you go on that, I need to know, who is better at bowling, Foxx or Irving?
Neither one of the guys, to be honest with you. Neither one of the guys. And then you imagine, now you're bowling with Kevin Hart, so that just takes a whole nother twist. Because he's going to laugh you all the way through everything. And you want to win because your competitive edge as an athlete comes out. But then you got comedians, and you can't forget. You know, that you're bowling, but these guys are joking and laughing, and Kevin Hart runs up to right to the pins and roll the ball. So how could you get into the competitive edge when it is so much fun and so much laughter going on? Because Kevin, what you see on television is what you get when you're dealing with Kevin Hart. He's
how do you see these two personalities? Because Fox, he loves the attention. You know, I've hung around him before, and he is in the spotlight even when the camera's not on him. So between him and Hart, who feels the attention?
Kevin Hart. Right now, Kevin Hart is hot. So right at that point, Kevin Hart really stole a lot of the attention when it comes to that. Jamie Foxx was more laid back.
Oh, lately, in his older
years. He was more laid back than Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart was all over the place because, that's what his image is, to be funny and to be out there. So he was more funny than Jamie Foxx was. Then you got to understand, outside of him, we was also bowling with Seth. The Entertainer was on our team, and Seth was Seth was really laid back. Seth was like, you know, hey, Seth was more into the competitive edge of bowling than those guys. Those who, you know, they went back and forth. You know, Mike picked up Kevin Hart off the floor and, you know, Kevin looked down at Mike, Mike looking up at Kevin, and Kevin said, "You're just as crazy as I am." So you
I
can imagine.
It.
And then you got Kevin Hart. Now, imagine this. Now, then you got Shaquille O'Neal, Ralph Sampson, and Mr. Robinson himself, David Robinson.
Oh, wow.
So can you imagine what that – he looked – like I told him, we was taking a picture. We took a picture, and I put it up on Facebook. We was taking this picture, and I'm going to tell you what I told him. They wanted me to get between Mike, Jamie Foxx.
Oh, my goodness. Oh my
and all
goodness.
These guys. So first thing I told him, because Kevin Hart got between Jamie Foxx and Mike, so it makes him look small, and he do that Kevin Hart look, that smile. And I said, "Listen, bro, y'all ain't finna Kevin Hart me. I'm going to get on this end."
Oh.
And he bust out laughing, man. Everybody bust out laughing on stage. I said, "No, y'all ain't finna Kevin Hart me, bro." Because I got it on Facebook when I stood between Mike and a couple tall receivers, and people, somebody came back and said, "Buddy, you look like Kevin Hart. That Kevin Harted you." So I use that now. I said, "No, bro, y'all can't Kevin Hart me. Put me on the end. That way I still carry my manhood or my height, even though I am short." Some people said they
Kevin
couldn't
Hart
believe
either.
That Kevin Hart was shorter than me. And I told him, I said, "Wait a minute. Why you say he's shorter than me? Why you can't say I'm this tall?" He can't be. You know, don't lessen my height. Give me all of my 5'6.5". I don't want to be lessened any more than that. But, Kate, hey, I'll be at Delray Atlantic to join you with Fox Sports, and we'll have a great time out there. We'll get our research done, and let's get ready to have a heck of a year.
Okay, because the fans are requesting you, so you better be there.
Hey, listen, I want to come out there and enjoy myself with you and the guys, and we have a good time because, hey, Fox Sports is where high school football is. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
You got to join me again now. You got to come back on my show again.
Oh, I will.
I need you on my show, and we're going to keep pumping out high school football for those people that are not knowledgeable of high school football. We're going to bring them into what is. I'm going to tell you what we got to do, too. One time we got to bring an all-woman's team to the show to where we're teaching women the game of football.
Yeah.
So let me and you brainstorm over that on Friday night in Delray Atlantic.
Perfect. All right.
All right, Kate.
Great show.
Hey, you enjoy the rest of your night, and I'll see you on Friday at Delray Atlantic.
All right. See you then. Bye, boys.
All right. That was Fox Report sideline reporter for Prep Zone, Miss K, as she brings you high school football throughout the South Florida area. B, let's get back to a little bit of, and then we're going to switch gears after we come out of this commercial break. We're going to switch gears. We're bringing on another one, I guess, our insider for the Denver Broncos, and we're going to jump straight from high school. We're skipping college, and we're going straight to the pros because there is a lot of talk going around. Is the NFL becoming a soft powder puff football league? But let's join a little bit. Let's get it back in a little bit into some Texas football. Now, give me your prediction of who you think in the 5A class. Do you see Allen repeating another state championship?
Well, right now, yeah, I do. And I say that simply because of Kyler Murray and what I saw him do last year. But it's so hard to call in the Texas state playoffs because, like, some of the best teams go down early. And you'll be surprised. But for the majority of the time, it's the powerhouses that tend to make it to the end. And that you have one of those sweetheart teams like Houston Lamar was last year. They hadn't been a Houston team out of the inner city, hadn't been to the state championship game since 1985, and they were the first team to do so. And that you have one of those teams again, then yeah, I do see Allen, you know, repeating as state champion in that 2A division. But I'm not so sure about that 1A division or the 1 division in 5A. I'm not sure. Katie could possibly do it, but it's several other teams within that school division that could possibly knock them off.
Okay. Hey, you heard it from B. He's giving you his prediction. He's going to continue to bring us high school football throughout the great state of Texas. I, myself, and Miss K will bring you football here in the state of Florida. We're going to go to a quick minute commercial break, and then we're going to bring our main man, Mr. BC, back on as he enjoyed New York with some of the greatest sports reporters in the game. But until then, stay tuned as we talk NFL football, has it become a powder puff league? Don't hit me too hard. Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raiders in the world, that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. Is the NFL a powder puff league? Joining us is Denver Insider, Mr. VC himself, better known as Vaughn, the Denver Insider Carter. What's up, V? What's going on, man?
I'm doing fantastic today, Tony. How you doing today?
Man, it's been a great day for myself, you, and Bibbs, man. Give me a little bit of insight. Now, you was at one of the most beautiful events that New York can hold, the fantasy football and the NFL. Tell us, my listening audience, a little bit about, you know, what took place.
Wow, it was a huge monumental day today for the NFL today, Tony. As you just now mentioned, the NFL kicked off their 2013 season by having a kickoff for the Fantasy Football League today at the Liberty Theater in New York City. It was a major event. A lot of folks came out, and it was spectacular, Tony. I mean, it featured executives from the NFL Network, NFL.com, and NFL Mobile. And it also featured, you know, the great Michael Irvin. Have to let you know I saw him today. You're a good friend of yours. Dear friend of yours. He told me to tell you what's up. I know you spoke to him earlier. You know, you got Marshall Faulk I was talking to today, Willie McGinnis, Mike Mayock, Brad Nessler, Melissa Stark, Andrew Siciliano, the executive producers from NFL. I mean, this was a five-star event that the NFL had to kick off not only the fantasy football, but to be able to feature a lot of the new innovative things that the NFL is now coming with their initiatives on NFL.com. So it was a fabulous event today and a great way to kick off the 2013 season.
And I'm going to tell you, so I get an opportunity so often when I travel to L.A., you know, I do a little stuff with the NFL Network. So I get an opportunity to rub elbows with these guys and become great friends with a lot of them. And I know if you got an interview for Mike, I know it was an amusing interview. I know him and his charisma and his pizzazz that he loves the microphone. He loves talking. So give us a little insight on what was it like getting that interview?
Well, you know, first off, I mean, it's always a pleasure to even be in the presence of Mr. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, three-time Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, three-time champion. So, I mean, it's just a pleasure to be in his presence, charismatic attitude. And you know Mike, Tony, he will talk football from now until the sun comes up tomorrow. So being around him and to be able to absorb his knowledge is priceless. And, you know, I got a chance to talk to him about the Denver Broncos and what they're currently going through right now with Von Miller's six-game suspension, and I wanted to see what he thought about the Denver Broncos' prospects of still having a successful season. And, you know, Mike explained it perfectly. You know, Mike broke it down basically saying that Peyton Manning is basically the sole controller of the team, and Manning will right the ship until Von Miller comes back. But Mike also said one thing. He mentioned to me specifically that the time when he was forced to sit out, similar to like Von Miller, it has to sit out now, suspension from games. Mike said that is by far one of the worst things you could do as an athlete, is to have to sit at home and watch a football game of your guys, your camaraderies, out there battling blood, sweat, and tears, and you can't even participate. So I thought that was fascinating, and I wanted to definitely share that with the listening audience.
Oh, of course, you know, and being an athlete, that you take that real hard because you feel you have let your guys down in some kind of way because you're not out there in the battle. You went through summer camp with them, and when they need you most, it's like, I done let you down. And so you got to live up to that when you get back on the field, because I got to show my guys, hey, I got to get back. I got to get in the thick of things. But now as we talk about that, let's segue a little bit into Michael Vick's situation. Do you guys, and B, I'm going to let you answer this first. Bibbs, do you feel Chip Kelly made the right decision in naming Michael Vick a star quarterback?
Yeah, I definitely think he made the right decision, and he made the right decision at the right time. I mean, I don't think the Eagles organization or the fan base or, you know, teammates want to sit around and, you know, wonder who will be the starting quarterback going into the fifth week of preseason or possibly to the first week of the start of the season. And I think he made the right decision with Vic. I think Vic fits what he's trying to implement in the NFL from college. What he did at Oregon with their fast-paced 90-play offense. I don't think they'll get 90 plays into the, you know, NFL game. But, you know, it could possibly get pretty high, maybe 70, you know. But I definitely think he made the right decision by, you know, picking Vic as a quarterback. I think Vic fits perfectly what he's trying to do. And hopefully he succeeds and, you know, able to keep his job and maintain his job throughout the season.
Okay, BC, what's your take on it? You feel that was the right decision?
Well, I think B hit a lot of main points right there, and I agree with B 100%. I mean, I think that the timing was perfect. I mean, you got to let the team know who's the starter. You're going to have to start to get the practices starting to be groomed and getting this team prepared for week one. So I agree with him with all the points. Mike Vick's the starter, perfect timing to do it. And on top of that, too, Mike's the more experienced quarterback, and you've got to put your faith and trust in the guy who you can trust that it can actually move the offense. And I think Mike's definitely the guy for the job.
Now, we say he is the guy for the job, but is he a quick fix for an offense, or is he the franchise guy for the Philadelphia Eagles going down the road? Or is he just a quick fix for right now that Chip Kelly see that, hey, I this is all I got. Kevin Foles is not the guy to run my type of offense. Michael Vick is, but I'm going to go into the draft and try to find a guy that I need, like a Russell Wilson, that knows how to run this type of offense. Do you feel Michael Vick is the future for the Philadelphia Eagles? VC, do you feel that?
I definitely do not think that Michael Vick is the quarterback of the future for the Philadelphia Eagles. And one reason why is I think Chip Kelly's offense is going to really be tested this year. You know, having 60, 70 plays, as B mentioned, and, you know, that's great thinking. But, you know, as the weather turns bad and you can't throw the ball around and you're not going to be able to get up to the line of scrimmage as fast due to inclement weather, if you run across football teams that run the ball effectively and can be able to control the clock, I'm really interested to see, is Chip Kelly's offense, first of all, even going to work, how effective it's going to be. And then in reference to Michael Vick, I don't think that they're going to have the success that they're envisioning. So I think that Michael Vick will be one and done in Philadelphia this year.
Now, when we talk, let's stay on the subject about quarterbacks. Now, you know, when we did the show last week, Rex Ryan called Geno Smith play in practice brutal. He called it brutal. So at that point in time, you know, you're looking at it and you say, okay, well, he called his young kids play brutal. What's going on? But now he comes out today and say that he had an awesome practice. So does that mean he start Michael Vick in the next preseason game? And when you listen at Sanchez and you hear him talk, it sounds like Sanchez is preparing himself to be the backup this week in the next preseason game. Do you feel like there was some pressure put on Rex Ryan to back that, to come back and say, hey, you got to change this because Geno Smith is our quarterback going down the line by the front office? B, what do you think about that?
I think it might have been a little pressure for him to go in and, you know, kind of fix up what he said last week about his Geno Smith's play being brutal. It's still one of his players on his team, and he might need him at some point throughout this season. So, you know, you might want to, you know, kind of encourage him, you know, and, you know, pick him up from that bad practice that he had last week instead of tearing him down. And, yeah, like I said, yeah, I think it was a little pressure, maybe from ownership, you know, maybe from, you know, team, anybody, for him, you know, maybe you want to pick up this guy and not tear him down. So you never know, you might need to use him at some point during the season. And you don't want his confidence to be shot already going into, you know, as or being a rookie as it is.
DC, what you think? Give me your take on that.
You know, he just made some valid points just now. You know, my take on it is I really think that Rex Ryan, in the back of his mind, Mark Sanchez was his quarterback when he became a head coach. Mark, he drafted Mark along with Mike Tannenbaum, the former GM. I think that's his guy. I think that he wants Mark Sanchez to actually be the quarterback. So I think that right now he's sitting in a smoke signal. I mean, how awesome can one man look in one practice? You know, last week he was brutal, as you mentioned, and now this week, all of a sudden, he has an awesome practice. I really think that Rex Ryan would really like for Geno to fail so that Mark Sanchez could be the starting quarterback. So I think it's a smokescreen.
So you say you think it's a smokescreen for people to see, okay, I'm going to give this guy a fair shot because now he's taking a hit and people saying you're saying that this guy is brutal for you to let your guy play. Because you know that this is your last opportunity when it comes to the New York Jets. It's either you hit now or you miss and you're done. You and Sanchez will be thrown out the pasture, and Geno Smith will be the last one standing when it comes, when the smoke clears. You think the pressure came down from them to say, hey, understand this. Sanchez is not our future. We've tried it. You best to figure out how you give this young guy some praise and keep him going. But now let's talk about his quarterback. This is our last quarterback we got to get on. Do Tim Tebow make it through the next cut of the New England Patriots? BC, what do you think?
Absolutely not. You know what, Tony?
Come on, don't be so harsh on the guy.
You know what? I love Tim Tebow. I'm not going to lie to you. I really liked the guy. I respected him when he was in college. I liked the guy when he was my quarterback for the Broncos. You know, big Broncos fan covering the team. I really like what Tim is on and off the field. However, the man is deficient at position and throwing in the ball. He should not be in the league anymore. He's taking up a point. He's taking up a roster spot.
Oh, come on. You can't say that about him. This guy's but he's a winner. Tim Tebow, you got to say he is a winner. He won in Denver, won in Florida. He is a winner.
But you can only win if you're on the field. And he's a third-string quarterback. I've never seen third-string quarterbacks get this much time. You know, this much time.
Come on, V. Don't do him like that. Don't listen.
Hey, B. Let's ask B. Who's the top quarterback on the Arizona Cardinals, the third-string guy, B?
Who's the third-string quarterback
on the Arizona Cardinals? Ooh,
he's not getting no attention, and neither should Tim Tebow.
Come on, do they carry? Can carry Tim Tebow and make money off him if you carry Tim Tebow in there. If you carry Tim Tebow, you can make some serious cheese because fans are gonna come to watch Tim Tebow. You must admit.
Well, I think that the Patriot brand is so much of a brand that's already doing well. I don't think that they need his jersey sales. Now, if he was in Jacksonville, I think that that would work really well. But I don't think that it's going to work well in the Patriots. I mean, how many people are going to buy his jersey?
His jersey, they're still hot now. He's still a hot guy. You put him in an arena, he's going to sell it out now. I'm going to tell you, Tim Tebow is coming to speak. People, but like you said, that doesn't win football games, Tony. It only wins in the box office. And the box office don't win in football. So we're talking football. Can Tim Tebow help the New England Patriots? And the answer is no. Point blank, period.
I don't fully agree, Tony. I don't think he can help them as a quarterback. I've stated this in the past. He's abysmal as a quarterback, but he is an exceptional athlete. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he can play something other than quarterback with the God gift, the body and, you know, skill set and his ability to run the football like he's been able to run his whole life. Yeah, I agree 100%. He's no quarterback. He should not be a quarterback in the NFL. Not a third-string quarterback. He gets too much attention. But he is a good athlete. And I do think he has a place in the NFL if he could transition over to something else. Not a quarterback, maybe an H-back, maybe a tight end. But
do you waste that kind of money on him to be on the 53-man roster? It's the question.
And on top of that, too, according to Tim, he still wants to be a quarterback.
Exactly. Right. He's not going to do anything. Yep. He don't want to do anything else.
And that's correct. And so, and I guess he'll have to see it for himself, and I guess everybody else, too, that you will not be an NFL quarterback no time soon or any time soon. So, and if you want to get on the field, then you're going to have to play something else. And that, I don't know who's to say that will work. You know, we don't even know if that will work, but he's never played anything else from what I've seen. So I don't know if he could even play another position, but I think he's a great athlete. And he could possibly transition over, but we only can see if it ever happens.
But Ken Tim now, and I understand he took a lot of hits at the University of Florida running the type of offense that he ran. But now when we look at Tim, now he and one thing about Belichick, I got to give it to him, Belichick is a genius dude. He see, you know, I have no tight ends that I say that I can do what I really want to do. I could put Tim in the slot in a team. A defensive coordinator will have to wonder what would I use a guy like that for. But I see it, and I say it, I don't think he makes the 53-man roster. I think he may last the next cup, but I don't see him lasting the 53-man roster with the New England Patriots. I don't think he's done enough in the preseason to justify keeping a guy like that on the 53-man roster. I don't see it. But, guys, hey, let's switch this now. Let me tell you something. When we talk about hits, let's talk about hits. There's been two things that took place in the NFL when it comes to hits that have drawn a lot of attention. They've drawn so much attention that it makes you wonder if the NFL is turning into a powder puff football league. Let's talk a little bit about John Bostic's hit. What's your take on that, B?
Great hit. When I saw it live watching the NFL Network, and when I saw it, all I could do was stand up and just like, you know, you have that, that was. And I got on the internet about yesterday, I think it was, and I saw that he was fine for it, and I had to click on the link to make sure I was looking at the right player or reading the right player's name, and they replayed the play. And I was like, he really got fine for that hit? You know, yeah. I guess it was a defensive receiver, and they say he led with his head, but it looked like a clean hit to me. He just looked clean. He sized the man up, and he laid him out.
And it's just like you say, like everybody's saying, it was a bang-bang hit. So it's tough to control bang-bang hits. They got to understand, these type of hits are going to happen. When I'm seeing that I'm training kids at 4 and 5 years old for this game, of course the speed is going to get the speed is getting faster, so the hits are going to be more brutal. VC, give me your take on that hit. What do you, if you was a person watching that game, do you say it is not what the NFL is made up of?
Well, I think that we're moving into an era now, Tony, of this is not my father's or your father's NFL anymore. I mean, the days of the Jack Tatums and the vicious Steve Atwater type guys, I think those style of hits are going to be out of the game now. I think that Bostic's hit was, from a viewership standpoint and from where all of us, me, you, B, and other fans of certain age groups, I think we're accustomed to that type of a hit. However, the new rules, I think that it makes him look like he led with his head and he never tried to extend his arms to wrap up the tackler at any point. Like, he led strictly with his head. So from a fan standpoint, or a traditionalist football person, it was a clean hit. But I think in the direction of where the game is going now, I think that they're going to consider those type hits where guys do not extend their arms to be able to try to attempt the wrap. I think those are going to be considered illegal hits.
But now tell me this, though. And like as you spoke about, the days of my dad and your dad and myself and yourself, the game has changed. But now, if you change the game, because it is my dad, myself, yourself, that is watching the game that what we're used to, if you start taking this out of the game, does it start tampering with what the true brand of the NFL is all about? Does it put, and people start saying, It is not a violent sport like it used to be. And all of a sudden, their ratings start going down. Does that hurt them?
Well, I think violence always sells. You know, going back to the Roman cathedral days, people wanted to see violence. So I think the violence, I think that violence aspect of it, Tony, is still thriving. I think people still want to see the big hits. But I think that we're now at the crossroads of hits to the head, where the concussion issue is a major thing, and now we have the Dustin Keller hit. So which direction does the Goodell and the league want the players to go? Do they want the guys to hit guys in the head and we're dealing with concussion issues, or go low and end the guy's career possibly?
Right, and from a PR standpoint, when you're looking at it, if I'm playing the game and I know, you know, you hit me in the head, all of a sudden I may be out, you know, one or two games, if that. But if you take my knees out like Dustin Keller, I'm done for the season. Which one you think a player is going to take? And a lot of players spoke out about it already, and they say they would rather for you to hit them high than to take them out down low. And to me, even in that hit was a legal hit. It was just so happened the defensive guy was lower, and that was the area he felt. And if you look at it, and I was watching it back and forth, the guy technically went for the thigh boards, which we have talked to go for the thigh board. He went for the thigh board, and I just think in the process of him going for the thigh board, he slipped a little bit. Foot got caught in the grass. And that's what made that hit more violent than what it was, because if the foot would have never got hit in the grass, the guy would have just flipped over and everybody said, ooh, but he laid him out. But what so happened, his foot got stuck. And that's what caused the knee to snap back. Snap out of place. He blows the MCL, the PCL, and the ACL, which went and the knee replaced. Let me tell you something. I had an opportunity to rehab a guy with all of those, and even with the torn hamstring. Fellas, that is a tough injury when you blow the whole knee out to come back from. So we'll stay and watch and see just what Dustin Keller, how he performs next year, how his rehab's coming. But when this day and age, when you're seeing knee injuries now, these guys are bouncing back within a year. But let's get into a little bit before we get ready to go. Let's get into a little bit of his Ichiro and Antonio Smith. Now, Ichiro is not – now, he's not an angel. He's not an angel. So, you know, we got 2 minutes left to get into this. My producers, my engineer is telling me we got 2 minutes left. So let's snap into this right quick. Give me 30 minutes on what you think about that, B. 30 seconds on it. What you think?
I think Incognito is one of those players that tends to get up under the skins of the opposing players, and him and Antonio Smith have had problems in the past, and it just escalated once again. I do think that he should have been suspended, you know, possibly a game. I don't think the suspension was, you know, a bad suspension, because it could have been more. It could have been worse. But at the same time, with him swinging a helmet, and we did see that he kind of backed off the swing, but if he would have connected, it could have been deadly. It could have been, you know, a lot more worse than what it was, and he could have possibly been suspended for a season. So I do agree with the suspension, and I have nothing really to complain about it. I think it's well deserved.
What do you think, VC?
Oh, I think he got lucky to only get one game the regular season and two in the preseason. I mean, I think he should have got maybe two games in the regular season, one in the preseason. As B just now mentioned, if he would have connected with that helmet to Incognito's head, that man might not be living right now. So, I mean, that was just an incomprehensible act that he did. So I think that he got off lucky. But everyone knows Incognito's a dirty guy, but you got to get the guy in between the whistles, as they say. So that was a terrible act.
Incognito, now you know he knocked out a bartender at the Fountain Blue now. So he's not a guy that's not used to violence, because he did knock out a guy at the Fountain Blue down in Miami a little bit ago. But, you know, that cost Antonio Smith $400,000. Cost him $400,000. So, he got off lucky, because you got to figure if those games would have added up, one regular season game cost you $400,000. Can you imagine? Or three or four would have did? You're in the millions.
Imagine how Vaughn Miller feels right now, Tony. Eight games, 6 games.
Woohoo! That hurts. That hurts him. That hurts the Broncos, because now, guess what? Denver, Peyton Manning, you got to hold on. Guys, we got 30 minutes. Hey, man, B, it was a pleasure having you on the Tony Sands Show. We'll be back here, folks, each and every week with both of my main mans here talking NFL, high school, and college sports. Guys, enjoy until we see our list, until we our listeners are able to hear our voices next week. Stay tuned here to the Tony Sands Show as we in closing. Don't get fined $400,000. Players, be careful of what you do on the football field because it will cost you.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.